Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, good evening. I'm so happy you joined us tonight, or today, or when you're joining us in the archives. Isn't the internet wonderful? So glad we have it. We can spread the gospel in much greater ways, amen? I just want you to know that any of you can do the same thing. Not really about me or any talent that I have, because anybody can join Blog Talk Radio. You can have a free program if you don't need it to be prime time in the evening. And, you know, just share your heart every single day, once a day. You can have a program. I don't feel led to do it every day, but I'm so glad you joined us today. I want to share tonight something that I'm getting passionate about, making clear, because I heard, you know, when I heard Pastor Randy DeMain share on this program last year and the year before, I think, his story about what stirs up an angel's zeal, it's our passion for God, to know him, to make him known. You know, I never forgot that. And one thing I've really noticed over the years, since January of 2000, I've been doing Restoration Prayer Ministry full-time, in addition to other things, one thing I've really noticed is that when people relapse, I can ask them some basic questions, you know, not to minister condemnation or pile of guilt on them, but just to find out where they are in love. And when I ask them, are you doing the basics? You know, like, okay, where are you? About how much time do you spend in prayer or study or in worship or, you know, something in terms of really being in love with Jesus and spending time with him, usually they say, well, you know, I haven't done much of that lately. And I was thinking, you know, the whole point of Restoration Prayer Ministry is not only to renounce every way that we haven't been in agreement with God so that we can declare scripture, you know, make proclamations, we can pray, we can do everything in agreement with God and at work. But it's also that it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, and I think a lot of people come for these six sessions of Restoration Prayer Ministry that I offer, and they want it to be a one-time fix. They don't really, really, really intend to change their whole lifestyle. But I was reading a secular article, or actually maybe it was a Christian article, but it sounded a little bit secular, and I put it on my Facebook, because it was talking about the 20 things that successful rich people do. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do a program that is about the 25 things successful Holy Spirit-powered Christians do as a lifestyle. Because it's when we really start aligning with Jesus in a relationship, not to keep a law, not to do the do's and don't the don'ts, but when we fall in love with him, then we really do these things. And don't think that it's going to take 25 hours a day to do these 25 things, because it's kind of like, a lot of these are kind of like things you do when you fall in love. You don't have to make the list and check it off. When you fall in love, you automatically adjust your schedule, right? You automatically adjust your priorities, your budget and everything. Nobody has to make you do it. And you know, they may give you some tips if you're not a natural at romance, but pretty much you're creative. You're motivated, because love isn't really love unless it's an action, right? So what is success to you? We're going to talk about that tonight. And right now, I'd just like to pray so that we can invite the Holy Spirit to give us his wisdom and insights and revelation. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to renew our minds, to restore our souls, to heal our hearts in any way that would hold us back from being the success that you've called us to be. And we're willing, Holy Spirit, to change our definition of success. We want it to be a download of what you say success is, of being in union or communion with you, an expression of God's heart, oneness with Christ. We see these things in the Bible, but we want a real impartation, revelation of it, not a head knowledge of it. A new lifestyle that is really, really an expression of that oneness with you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to do that in our lives and to take out any blockage or hindrance that would keep us from it. So we cancel every assignment of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Most High. We own our spiritual power and authority. We cancel every assignment of the enemy against us, our pets, possession, and property, everything, and everybody that we care about, and against this program, and against our bodies. I need you to pray for me tonight. I've got a pain that's very distracting, but I never let these things hold me back. Amen. A lot of times Satan just backs off once he sees it's not going to work. Usually, I would say. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for words of wisdom and knowledge and prophetic words tonight and for all the ways that you're going to demonstrate God's perfect love to us. Help us to receive your unconditional love and acceptance and total forgiveness, your gift of righteousness, and it be such a reality to us that we realize this is more real, that you don't define us by our behavior, that we can be passionate about you because you're passionate about us, amen? We receive compassion for others too. And we thank you, Lord, that you're not holding these secrets in a fist behind your back, that you want us to know. You want us to know not only your will and way and timing, but you want to fill us with the passion that you have to be one with us and that we'll want to be one with you. Amen? So what is success to you? Have you thought about that? Actually, I'm not going to mention money or prosperity tonight, so if you're listening to see if that's what this program is about, it's not. Don't we have enough preachers talking about that already? And to me, that's not even where I'm going personally, because I don't believe we have many more years left, and I want to invest everything I can into the kingdom. You don't get a hundredfold return anywhere else, amen? And I don't even care if I don't get the hundredfold return in this life. I don't. Eternity's a very long time. So to me, success is doing what the Father says to do and saying what the Father says to say, but it's with passion. Out of oneness, out of communion with him, and out of union. But there are characteristics. As I studied 20 famous leaders, Christian leaders, and as I studied generals in the faith, I've noticed about 20 or 25 characteristics and things that they all have in common. I really went on a search when I was about 23 to find out how do you get the more of the Christian life. And I feel sad when people want restoration prayer ministry with me or someone else, but they want the one-time fix and they just go right back to doing the same things and saying the same things they've been saying before. Oh, no. So, tonight I want us to be aggressive to keep what is Jesus, cast out what's not. If it aligns with God's truth, let's proclaim it or do it or own it. And if it doesn't, let's aggressively cast it out. Amen? Let's not just learn this tonight as intellectual assent to something. Let's make a resolution to say, God, in your power, I'll be the faithful one. I'll be the faithful one to be lined up with you. I want my walk to be, what is it? That's what I used to start the program off with, about our walk and talk matching. Amen. That's why we called it Crosswalk Talk, because your walk talks louder than our talk talks. That's it. So let's talk about actively seeking the kingdom of God. Morning, noon, and night, like the Bible says. You know, people ask me, well, do you do this? Do you do that? Do you do it in the morning? Do you do it at night? I said, well, the Bible says to do it morning, noon, and night. So rather than become a huge burden, it's like a relationship, a little here and a little there. But the main thing, number one in 25, is passion. Now, some of you may want to tune me out with this first one, but it is so true. If you look at what rich people do down to, you know, what we're talking about tonight, any scale of success, you'll find out people basically rise up about 3 hours at least before work. They don't slide into work asleep. They go to bed at night so they can get up in the morning. Rabbis say that some rabbis set their clocks 2 hours before dawn because they say you can hear God better. And I know I can hear God better in the night or early in the morning before dawn. Now, if you're a night person, just do it. You know, put those hours aside at night. Some of you may be already doing that. You might want to consider another step, and that would be tithing your time. That doesn't mean that it all has to be spent in the devotional time, but tithing your time to God. I told God years and years ago in the 90s, if he would change my nursing schedule, I would give him more time, and he changed it right away. It was amazing. But I really did give him more time, not as a law, not to keep a law, because I was just falling more and more in love with Jesus, and I needed more time with him. Number two is to release Christ to live his life through you. You may have been wondering, you know, how do you do this if it's not by works, if it's not by my own strength? Another lifestyle thing is to actively say to Christ, I release you to live your life through me. I'm not asking you to help me do it. I know I can't do it. I'm releasing you to live your life through me. And, of course, we do. Number three, meditate and believe. A verse. Meditate on it morning, noon, and night. You know, it doesn't have to be a long Bible study. One of the strongest Christians I've ever heard of was Wigglesworth. And he said that he never really studied the Bible for a long period of time. He said he'd read a verse and believe it. He said, the difference between me and you is I read a verse and I believe it. So even if it's just one verse, you'll notice my journaling on Facebook. Almost every day I'll journal something on Facebook. And it's just about one verse or two. But really letting the lover of our soul speak to us about that one verse and inviting him to transform us. Amen. Now, Paul, of course, one of our most outstanding Christian leaders, said, number four, pray for our leaders first of all. And this is one that I have to be reminded of because there are so many things, you know, we can think to pray for. And Lord knows we need to pray for our leaders first of all. Five, I put focus. It's keeping our focus. Very successful people stay focused on their purpose or vision. And when they make decisions, the decisions aren't that hard because they're looking at each decision to see how it lines up or doesn't line up with their personal purpose or God-given vision or the mission. That means how they're going to go about fulfilling that vision. And sometimes the mission changes, you know, God can give us different assignments for different seasons. But the main thing is to be focused. That our vision is God-given. It's what Christ wants to do through us. And it may be in the marketplace, in business, in the arts or media or education or a church or, you know, any number of arenas. Most ministers are marketplace ministers. But to be successful, we've got to stay focused on the purpose and the vision that God's given us. Another thing is to speak it into existence. We need to speak it and not be kind of laid back or lazy or just coasting through. We need to actively speak it into existence. Even if you spent 1 minute a day on this one, just speaking it into existence would make a difference. Angels are empowered when we speak God's word, speak God's will, speak God's rhema, or spoken word. And if God's given you goals, then to pray those goals. Don't just leave them on the shelf, you know. Speak the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Speak that out loud. It makes such a difference. You know, what's the most productive thing you can do as you get dressed, as you prepare for your day? And that's to speak things into existence, to agree with God, to believe that he will do what he said he will do. And also to own our spiritual power and authority to take back dominion. Now, this includes a lot of things. I just saw a post about the weather tonight, and I was encouraging them to remember that we have dominion. Instead of agreeing with the media forecast or the Dow Jones average that things are getting worse, not better, we can speak things into existence. We can command really bad weather to dissipate. Now, if it's God's will for that storm to come for some reason, then, of course, this we don't want it to dissipate. But most of the time, it has worked for us. We have seen tornadoes disappear off the radar. We've seen hurricanes dissipate and lose strength and never cause any destruction. So try it. Try it. We can listen to God in new ways. And I think this is one that many of you will perk up at. You know, how do you hear God's voice? How do you listen? You know, I've got the points that Mark Berkler shares. I've got my own 7 points on crosswalklife.com. And you can go and look up in the archives, hearing God's voice, and see those points. But some people are still kind of stuck. They say, well, you know, how do you really listen to God? Because when I listen, I don't hear anything. And I want to make this easy for you. Think about when you tend to hear God the best. Is it during worship? Or you sing along with worship? You could put on a CD. The only instrument I play is CDs. Is it when you're reading the word? Is it when you're making declarations? Is it just listening? Katie Souza likes to lay on her back for 30 minutes at a time and just invite the light of Jesus to come. So people have different ways, but you know the main thing that they all have in common is set aside some time. So if it's worship music that does it for you, that's fine. I suggest all three. Read some word, declare some word, worship. Do all three. Thank you, Lord. And not as a ritual, not as a rant or a dogma, but like you're on a date. Just love on Jesus. So Jesus, show me how to love on you. Show me how to glorify you. And, of course, that might lead to the time problem. So many people tell me they don't have time as if we don't all have the same 24 hours. Now, I know if you've got a difficult work schedule, or like in my case, I work and go to school and teach school. Some of you have children. But, you know, when I first had a baby, I just took that as a personal challenge to try to fit things in while that baby was asleep. And it was possible. It was possible. God will show us how. But what we need to do is to say, God, show me how to do what the Father says to do. And not everything everybody wants me to do, amen. And not everything always that I want to do when I want to do it. Show me how to listen and say what the Father says to say and do what the Father says to do. And then I won't be exhausted because I'm only doing what Father says to do. Another thing that successful people do is they read. Now, by the way, almost everything on this list, they found that people in poverty do not do. For instance, reading. Successful people will be spirit-led when they choose books to read from. They're not just reading stuff that has nothing to do with their purpose all the time. But they'll read books that are maybe written by people that have some keys, some wisdom, some insights, or maybe are on the same path that they're going on. And if you're a busy person like me, you know, I don't read more than one chapter at a time of anything, really. But I believe in reading it slowly enough so that I can journal it. And that's why you get a lot of it on Facebook. Whether it's me reading Romans, I'm studying Romans right now, or reading a book. I'm reading Rick Joyner's book on the path right now. But there's a lot of awesome books out there that do have the keys to help us to be lined with God for success. Amen. Another big one is number 11, give. See, any of these that you leave out and don't even do once a week, say, then you're just shortchanging yourself. But a lot of these, most of these, I do every day. And but giving isn't something that I define as money. I define it as, first of all, my time. I asked God for more time to give to him, and he's granted it. It wasn't too long after that, just a few years before I was off full-time and he was my employer. Well, you may not even want that or be called to that, but that's where I wanted to go, and God saw to it. You may have a talent that you can give. I remember my daughter doing mime for the homeless downtown. That was a hoot. Bunch of 12-year-olds doing mime for the homeless. You can give money. Some of you may be called to give monthly to this ministry. I don't mention money all the time, but we certainly need it. Oh, my, do we need it. I need an assistant really, really bad. I just work way too much. You may have a service that sometimes you charge for, sometimes you can donate. But at any rate, give. Sow into another vineyard, not just your own. And as you sow into others, God will trust you with more. You can call things forth, too. You can call someone literally on the phone. You can ask them to call things forth with you. Or you can call people to encourage them, pray with them for healing, for freedom, for their prayer request. And, you know, when I call people, I can't talk an hour or two unless we have an appointment. So I'll just tell people up front. You know, I don't want them to feel cut off. So I'll just say, I'm just calling you on my break. I thought I'd use my break to call you. And that way they know that they are special to me, but they know also that, you know, I can't go into anything long. But I want to give them a word of encouragement. And there's a way to do that. Sometimes people don't make phone calls because they think it's going to last forever. But just be proactive and tell them up front that you only have till, you know, the 10 more minutes or whatever. Do these things. As you sow these seeds, it's so fun to reap them. And another thing that Holy Spirit-led Christians do that are successful is they're mindful of their power and authority to cast out demons. In Mark 18, it's clear the everyday job description of believers is not only to pray to heal the sick and do signs and wonders, but to cast out demons. We don't have to put up with this, and Christians a lot of times are passive. They're muted. They put up with demonic activities in their homes or in their businesses or classrooms or in themselves. And so we have to get your doctrine straight. Yes, Christians can have demons or be bothered by demons. We're just not possessed by demons. But we don't have to put up with them. Every demon knows that it has to bow at the mighty name of Jesus, Son of God, Most High. But you may not know that. So if you don't know that, please look on my website at crosswalklife.com and search for these things. Whatever your shortcomings are, search for it, find the articles on it, do a word study and get lined up with the Word of God. And get training. For goodness sakes, I've made it free now. I used to charge for NowFaith.tv. People used to have to pay to get in there. It's password protected. Now it's free. Since I made it free, like 9,000 Chinese signed up that week, and I went, oh, thank you, Lord, for talking me into making it free. Oh, my goodness, what an opportunity. But you Americans, you need training. If you want to go through the open doors this year, you're going to have more training than you've got now, or you'll just get the same kind of doors you've been having. Does that make sense? If you want bigger and better open doors, you've got to go deeper into training. And you can do that at NowFaith.tv. If you don't have anything local, come on the Internet. Click Join Here or Join Now, whatever it says, and it will take you to a place where you can introduce yourself, just answer a few questions. Then you click on schools, ministry training school, year one, semester one, and you're in school. You can spend an hour or two a week getting training so that you can be more successful. That's what successful people do. They go to training, and they do it as a lifestyle, not just once, not just in college and then sit down forever. They continue to get continuing education units, CEUs. They continue to go to training, and they become more and more successful. And I'll say we do. We do, because I'm big time into training. Be assertive. This is another one. A lot of Christians think it's holy not to communicate what they need, not to ask for what they need. They're just going to pray. Well, there's merits for both, but I say do both. Be assertive. Be real about what's going on, but ask for what you need. Make people aware of it, and then trust God. Being assertive also means knowing how to say no to people and yes to God sometimes. I certainly can't meet with everybody that wants to meet with me. I'm just, you know, have the same number of hours in a day as you do. And I have to say no to some people and yes to others. But I try to be totally fair about it and go first come, first serve. Another thing that I mean in a spiritual way and not in your own strength is to network. God didn't call us to be lone rangers, to try to do everything, you know, by ourselves. That's not how Jesus trained the disciples up. They usually operated as a team. There may have been some times when one person went out by themselves, but I'm not aware of it. They went out in twos. They went out all dozen of them. There were 70 sometimes. There were 120 meeting together other times. But we can network with the people that God introduces us to. We can ask God for a mentor. We can look for ways. Be proactive about it. Look for ways to be around people that can mentor you, knowing that iron sharpens iron. Now, mentors don't call you and say, can I mentor you? So I want to give you permission right here and now that you call the mentor, whether it's me or somebody else, and you say, how can I enter into the mentoring program? You know, and it may be that you're there when they're ministering or whatever it is, you know, whatever kind of mentoring it is, when they're doing their thing, you're there. Also, one of the biggest things, you could put all 24 things on one side in some families and put this one by itself on the other side. Turn off the TV after 1 or 2 hours and journal while you listen to God. I am not kidding. It doesn't mean that you can't have a program? If you're just sitting there like a zombie watching program after program, you're missing a lot. You're missing a lot. That is not going to carry you through these end times. So I want you to turn off that TV after 1 or 2 hours. You can watch the news or your program or even a movie in that amount of time. But then listen to God. Worship God. Journal. And you'll be surprised what a talking God you've had if you just set aside time for that date. And then we also reap what we sow big time. So ask God for somebody that you can disciple. So unless you're just, you know, a prodigal completely off course here, if you're walking with the Lord now, Spirit-filled, ask God for somebody you can disciple. There's always somebody that knows less than you do and will need encouragement. There's always, you know, the scripture always works, never comes back void. You can always give somebody a word or a scripture. Encourage them, confirm, you know, you can agree with them in prayer, you can affirm their strong points, but ask God for at least one person that you can either mentor or disciple or at least encourage. And as you sow that, you'll reap it. And that's how the kingdom of God is supposed to work. Jesus demonstrated to us as for 3 years as he discipled just 12 guys. That's a lot of concentrated time on 12 guys. Another big thing is to renounce the negative while you're receiving all this and doing all this positive. Continue. Don't stop. Even if you've had Restoration Prayer Ministry with me and we cleaned your whole life out, don't stop there. When new tempting thoughts or impulses or emotions try to form, renounce them immediately. Say, that's not my thought. Or if God convicts you of the fact that you've been thinking this for a long time, it just comes up, you know, now and then ask forgiveness 5 ways to get to the root of it. Because all this word of faith proclamation doesn't really stick if it's sticking to lies that you're still believing and saying, or word curses, or ungodly beliefs, or bitter root judgments, or bitter root expectations, or fleshly inner vows. We need to renounce all of those things and ask God to forgive us for buying into it, for judging other people that taught us those things. Ask God to forgive us for our own sins. Ask God to forgive him for us for doubting him. And also forgive ourselves for believing those lies if they're recurrent. So we need to repent of sowing bad seeds and ask forgiveness 5 ways and bring those things to death on the cross. Now, you may say, I don't know how to do that either. You just say, Jesus, I want to bring these bad seeds of being judgmental or critical or condescending or complaining or whatever it is. I want to bring these bad seeds to you, Jesus. I ask you to bring them to death on the cross and replace these empty places then with your life and your truth, and lead me as I sow good seeds into good ground. Amen. And don't forget to come to Jesus, I mean, just seconds to, and ask him who's next. Where can I sow seeds of the gospel? Where can I share the gospel? Now, some of you are sharing it by email or on Facebook or on the internet or on radio. Maybe you're doing it through visitation at your church, or you're doing it on the job or other outreaches or missions. Or there's so many ways to share the gospel. A creative way, well, just ask God for a creative way for you, what fits you. But creative ways and new places to share the gospel. Amen? Amen. Some of you that are Facebook addicts just need to get off the computer and go out into the highways and byways like Jesus did. I feel sad sometimes when I see people on Facebook all day long, because I think they're not reaching the world there. We're preaching to the choir there. And I believe in sowing seed there. But we need to be balanced. You know, get out of the house and ask God who's next. And he'll give us divine appointments. It is so fun. So fun. We need to sow blessings and prophetic words into others. And if you don't know a thing about that, ask God. Start teaching me. Or line up with me or some other mentor and learn how to listen to God for words for other people. It is so cool. And if you're a little bit chicken like I am sometimes, you can put it in the form of a question. Like I'll ask, when I sense that I know what somebody's personal purpose is and they're just a stranger, you know, at the grocery store and the Walmart or something, I'll just say, you know, I just have this impression. Have you ever felt a calling to go into music? And they'll say, yes, how'd you know? And I said, I just felt like God was telling me that he's gifted you with a talent in music and he's got a purpose for it. Now, that took like 60 seconds. I asked a question, and if they said, no, I hate music, you know, I just would have left it alone. If they really did. Nobody's ever said that, though. God is, like, so faithful. Amen. Amen. So you can ask God for a prophetic question, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord, and corner them like they can't, you know, they have to agree with you or something. You can just ask them a question. Say, I see music all over you. Is that right, you know, or is it just me? You can come across gently. And another big thing, if you want to be successful, is to sow honor and respect. Believe in other people just like you'd want them to believe in you. Believe in their vision. Ask people, you know, if you could change the world in any way, what would you want to do? And find out what it is that maybe they've never had the courage to really do, but they wish they could, you know. And believe in them, affirm them. And sometimes, you know, some of us are harder to respect and honor than others, but ask God for the ability to respect authorities and to show them honor, even if you don't agree on every point. I always tell people, I don't think you're going to find anybody in your whole life that you agree with on everything. I've disagreed with God plenty of times. So quit expecting to agree with people on everything. Honor and respect isn't about agreeing on everything. It's not about having everything in common. We're just supposed to honor and respect, and it's fun to receive respect, too, even if it's by people that you know don't agree with you, but they still respect you. Isn't that right? Okay, so winding down here, we want to sow true discernment. One of the biggest grievances that people talk to me about is how other people misunderstand them, accuse them, right? Criticize them or judgmental about them or condemn them or complain about them when they don't even know them, don't understand. And we need to ask God to operate in his true discernment through us so that we can discern people rightly and we can encourage them in the right way. For instance, if they're real performance-oriented, we don't want to always be affirming them in a way that makes them push even harder into performance orientation. We want to affirm them, the beauty of holiness, of humility, of resting in the Lord, and they can relax in him. Yeah, you can even affirm somebody in something that they're overdoing, you know, and they just overdo it more. But the main thing that I want to emphasize last is that in all the things we want to sow and reap, that we just sow God's love and power into someone new. Just say, Jesus, who's next? I would like to be your love and power to someone new. And it might be one of these 60-second things. I ask complete strangers if they need prayer for anything. I say, I'm just out praying for people. Do you like prayer for anything? And almost every last one has always said yes. Part of that is because I don't pick people that are obviously, like, in a struggle with three preschoolers, you know. breaking out in the sweat trying to handle these children. You know, I pick people that God highlights, that he says, this is a good time to ask this person. Amen. So I hope that helped you. I hope you took notes, and I hope you'll listen to it again. Because as I studied the generals of the faith and read biographies of 20 famous people by V. Raymond Edmond and some of the older books, I found that they all pretty much had these things in common. They would set aside time. They had a passion to know God, and they expected more in their communion with God, in union with him, and they expected him to flow through them in new ways. None of them said, you know, we try to be at every program at the church, and we're a workaholic, and we work night and day. You know, none of it was anything like that. It was about knowing God and expressing him. Amen. Hallelujah. I know somebody's praying for me, because I had a very distracting pain when the program started. I don't have it now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the body of Christ and how we can work together as a team. Well, speaking of that, I hope that some of you have something you'd like to contribute tonight, because I'm sure that wasn't an exhaustive list, but I didn't want it to be exhausting either. I wanted to be able to get on to what you have to say. So I'd like you to ask the Lord right now, how do you define success, and what do you believe the keys? God, what do you say the keys to success are for me? And some of you may even want to share what they are not. Like I was just saying, it's not performing more and more and more, knocking yourself out night and day. The Bible talks against that, you know, working all the time. And I went into chronic fatigue working all the time. That is not the answer. I believe that resting in him and prayer and standing in faith and some of these things that may not look active to you, but they are active, are more productive than just work, work, work. Amen? Amen. We minister to God first. So I'll close out my part by saying, I would say that hours with God is more productive than hours with men. So I like Maldonado's statement, hours with God and minutes with men. Because when we do it that way, then we are anointed. We have been in his presence. And then when we are with people, whether it's on the phone or in person or whatever, then his anointing breaks every yoke. Amen? His anointing does the work in his power. Okay. I hope you'll call in tonight. The number is 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. And just push that number 1. If you would pretty please share a comment or ask a question or something, let's get this Crosswalk Talk show going. Hallelujah. I'm looking. Don't see that any of you callers have pushed 1. So what I think I'll do is give us a little worship music here. And I hope somebody in the chat room will let me know if one of these music clips doesn't work. I forget which one. Somebody told me that one of these didn't come across right. So please, please, please tell me if that ever happens. But let's listen to one of my favorite songs from the Brownsville Revival. Down in Brownsville, Pensacola area, we were, you know, right next door to them, so we were able to attend that in person quite a few times. And so while I wait for you to call in, let's play Mercy Seat, sung by Vicky Yohe.
Darkness, where everything is unknown, I face the power of sin on my own. I did not know of a place I could go.
Permission from her. Our opening background music to our intro is her music as well. You know, I just want you, Lord. And we really enjoy her. I think Becky Yohe appeals to everybody, red and yellow, black or white. Amen. She just got it. Amen. Oh, I wish I could sing like that. Okay. If you would like to share a comment, ask a question, receive prophetic ministry live on the air, push number one now, because we have callers. Everybody's being courteous, I guess, to the others, and no one's pushed anything. Okay, here goes somebody, and we may have all old-timers tonight. That's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Code 786, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi. Good night, Carlotta. This is Mario from Miami.
Hi, Mario from Miami. What's up?
Not much. I always, you know, want other people to comment and to speak first, but you just spoke about some of the greatest things that I think we have in our Christian walk. And when I was a little bit late, but when I tuned in, you just mentioned that we could do all three things during our personal time with God. And that was like a confirmation for me, because I love to be in the Word, to worship and to pray. And sometimes it's the best part of the day. And if something gets in the way from that, it's no matter what happens the day, it's not as good as that time in the presence of the Lord, where He speaks to you through His Word or audibly or being in His presence. Nothing no blessing could compare to that intimacy with God in the morning. So I was just excited as I heard you teach, and I also learned so many good things as well. I'm definitely going to listen to it over again and make sure that I review some of the things that, like discipling and all these other things. It was just so great. As always, a huge blessing.
Amen. Well, I was actually looking at that kind of Christian kind of how to get rich list, and I was just so amazed. I thought, you know, it's so true. It's so true. Just little things like getting up a little earlier, you know, getting prepared for your day, you know, speaking positive, and not just positive, but God's will. It's so true. It's so true, but it really doesn't. I was looking over it. It's not like it adds hours and hours to your day. A lot of it is just being in an attitude of standing and believing while you're getting dressed or commuting. One of the things that they had said is that wealthy people all say that they listen to some e-book or something while they're driving. They don't waste time. I know it's true. I know it's true. They're ever learning, staying in an attitude of, you know, improving, being trained, and it's not that they're trying to do it in their own strength. Just saying, God, you know, show me what's next.
Amen, 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 definitely.
And you just went to training too, right?
Excuse me? Oh, yeah. Well, that's a big impartation of hunger and just thirst for God and for the souls mostly. But it's just like a revival in the inner spirit to continue to be more like Christ. But, you know, the important thing is to continue it. And that's where the challenge starts, because we all know that the flesh is weak. But I wanted to point out one thing that you mentioned, that of us waking up earlier to seek God. And this is what I found to be very, very true, that if we ask the Lord to wake us up please wake me up at whatever time you want, He is so faithful to do it. And it will surprise you. And I think it's so cool, because I usually have my alarm clock at a certain time. And then not too long ago, He woke me up just like 5 minutes or so before my alarm clock went off. Like, He's like telling me, I'm your alarm clock. You don't need your alarm clock. But I have it there just in case. It's not just me. And it is so cool, because it's like, your father just coming to wake you up and saying, hey, son, come on, I want to spend time with you. And it is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
It is. It is, Mario. And there's probably some people out there that are thinking they have a sleep disorder, because they wake up at 3:30, 4, 4:30 in the morning most nights. It's not necessarily a sleep disorder. I prayed to be healed of my sleep disorder, and God would tell me, you don't have a sleep disorder. That's me. You know, if you can't find the time during the day, then we'll just do it in the middle of the night, and it's not like punishment. It's like there is a way, you know, like mothers of little children. That might be the only time, you know, that they can do it. But I just say, if God wakes you up in the middle of the night, go ahead and spend some time with Him. You'll fall back to sleep. And if you don't, you know, just ask God to help you sleep faster.
Most definitely. And then it sort of might be a little bit difficult at first, because you're not used to it, but afterwards you won't want to live your life without it. Times, for example, one time He woke me up like at 2 in the morning, and I said, no, this probably isn't Him. But then later on I got attacked, and I realized that it was Him trying to get me up, get up to pray, warning me of something that was going to happen. And then I was like, ooh, anytime He wakes me up in the middle of the sleep, it's usually going to be Him. And you could tell when it's Him, when it's not just, when something just gets you up and you just, I don't know how to explain it. But I said, no, it's too early. It's 2 o'clock. That's not Him. And then afterwards it was like, oh, that was definitely Him. So He might just, sometimes it might, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, just sometimes not just for the incident, sometimes he does want to warn you and wants you to start praying against things. At least that's what happens in my life.
Well, I just look back on my life too, Mario, and I see something similar. Like I posted on Facebook today that the spirit of fear, I was dreaming about the spirit of fear trying to take over my friend's life.
Wow.
I didn't in what area because I didn't want people to start commenting on this particular area. But he was trying to take over somebody's life in the area of foods by making them afraid to eat this, afraid to eat that, afraid to eat this. And I realize our food is not the quality it used to be. And some things are GMOs and all, and they're actually destructive. I realize that. But the spirit of fear was trying to come in and make her afraid to eat almost everything, you know. And but when you mentioned 2 o'clock, too, see, it's all about passion to me. Are we really in love with Jesus? If not, you know, if we've kind of lost our first love, then let's start there and say, God, give me my first love. He'll do it. He'll do it, and especially to me, you know, I never thought of myself, first of all, as an evangelist, but I found out that when I started asking him for people to share Christ with, I started falling in love with Jesus all over again. I started remembering how much sense he makes. Everybody else puts you on a performance basis, number one. Okay, but the 2 o'clock thing, you know, I don't want to belabor this point because people know what I'm talking about, but when you're in love, 2 o'clock is no problem.
Yeah.
It's no problem. Coming or going, it's no problem. When we had just sold our house and had 3 weeks to get out of our house, getting up at 2 o'clock and going to the airport so that we could go to the next city and look for a house was no problem. Didn't sleep long that night. We got on that red-eye flight and got out of there. Also, when we were on a trip and we had to be at a place by a certain time, we did a similar thing. You know, we just slept a few hours in a hotel room. It seemed like a real waste of money, but we needed a little bit of sleep, and we were up and going. So it's about what you have a passion for, what you're in love with, you know, what means something to you, and you'll do it.
Definitely.
If you want a trip to Europe and you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the international airport, you'd find a way.
Oh, definitely. And I just want to say that once you start building this time, it was something amazing that happened was that, you know, I used to work for an apostle in an insurance agency, and he used to mentors at 5:30 in the morning in this really dark neighborhood. And as I started applying what he was teaching me, my relationship with the Lord started growing enormously, in the sense that I used to hear his voice a lot. He used to ask me to do some really outgoing things that made me walk by faith and not by sight, and it was really operating the supernatural. And now, as in this last conference, I learned that when we have intimacy, we have communion, and when we have communion, we have partnership, and we start doing the things that Jesus did. And I was like, well, I was just doing it because my boss was, you know, teaching me to spend more time with God around 4 in the morning, but I didn't know that it was going to, you know, it was a little bit, caught me by surprise hearing the voice of the Lord so clearly, and him asking me to, you know, sometimes he'll tell me, don't take the money, I'm going to provide for the bus fare. And I'm like, oh man, I have the money right here in my hand, do I listen or do I not do it? And next thing you know, I swipe the card and boom, I get in. And or he'll tell me, you know, I'm going to provide food for you today. And I'm like, what? But and somebody comes in and, oh, you know, here, I brought these barbecue ribs for you. I'm like, no way, you know. And I had no idea what was going on. But in this last conference, that's where they taught us that you have this intimacy and you start partnering with him and it builds communion. And it's like, oh, makes sense now. And it blows my, to me, I tell people that it's like something out of a movie. The lifestyle with Jesus is phenomenal.
It is. And, you know, Jesus told them, in case somebody doesn't know, like if you read in Luke 9 and similar chapters in the Gospels, Jesus told them, don't take a lot of money. Just take a change of clothes. You know, watch me provide. But you're staying here, Jesus. No, I'll be there. I'll be there in spirit. I'll be providing. And he also wanted people to be humble. He said, just stay at the first house that you stay in. In other words, don't keep trying to move up, up, up through the congregation.
Yeah.
You know, just whoever invites you first. And just be humble. But so we're not talking here about getting rich. There is a list on the internet of 20 things that, you know, successful rich people do. And their point's well taken. You know, they're not lazy. They're not off course. They're focused. They're using their time twice a lot. But here's the other thing. Don't use your time twice when it's your quiet time, worship time, meditation time. Now, that doesn't mean you can't listen to things as you're commuting to work. And, you know, if you're mowing the lawn, put your ear plugs in. I mean, your, what you call it. But have some time where you give God focused attention. Because if you want focused attention from God, then you sow it. You sow focused attention on him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes, Apostle Maldonado spoke very highly of undivided attention in his time with God. He received a phone call he had been waiting for, and the Lord told him, no, I want undivided attention.
Oh.
So, yeah. Yeah. So I completely agree with you, and I believe we're learning that as we honor God, then we honor him. And one of the things he taught us is that we could choose the blessing or the curse, but we can't choose favor. And again, it's not for selfishness, and it's just to honor God. And as he honors us, I believe with all my heart that it glorifies him and that people see that we truly are children of a king. And that's what I live for.
Amen. And I want to say that, you know, some things can be a blessing or a curse depending on how you use them. And I'll just say that I text, and I love email. I never thought I would like email when it first came out. But you don't have to answer and read every text as soon as it comes, because the whole point to me of texting and emailing is that you can do it at a suitable time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may glance at it, but just because you've glanced at it doesn't mean you have to answer it right then. And so I guess the last thing that I have taught before that I'll say tonight is that keep a little pad of sticky notes in your little sanctuary, wherever that is, your prayer closet. Then you can write down, answer the text, and then get your mind right back on God. Yeah. Or if you remember that you forgot to make a deposit and it's going to be disastrous if you don't, then just write down deposit and get your mind right back on God. Amen. Thank you, thank you. Good points, Mario. You can tell you're practicing it.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, my church is big on spending a couple of hours with the Lord, and because we, as an offering, we should offer him our lives, our time, and I'm just so grateful to be in a community and to know people as yourself who preach and who teach us these things. Because, honestly, I did not know. There's this song by Jesus Culture where he says, I have a plan for you. It's going to be wild. It's going to be full of me. I didn't know it was going to be so wild and so full of Jesus. I didn't know that song was going to be so prophetic in my life. And you mentioned that he's the Sunday and every divine appointment is the cherry. And I'm understanding that every little divine appointment is beautiful, but it doesn't compare to having Jesus in our lives from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. It's amazing.
And when you want that, you start getting it. Because people, you know, they'll really put other people down that say they can hear God, you know, morning, noon, and night. You know, they're like, no way. And they think it's presumption or something. But it's all about what you have a passion for. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And
amen.
If that's what you want, and I believe that's why David was a man after God's own heart. He he was shepherding those sheep. I'm sure he was doing a good job and even fighting off a lion when he had to. But he was listening to God just as much as he could. And we know that because he kept journaling it, you know. We wouldn't have all the songs if David wasn't with us. Amen. Have a good night, Mario. Ooh, you blessed me.
Hi. Good night, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye. Woo. I really do want to go down there to Apostle Maldonado's, one of his trainings. He's got all these modules he's having, and there's one in June that I'm thinking about. Might see some of you there. Want to invite my friends to join me there. I'm hoping I'll make it. We'll see. I don't get to go to many conferences. But I just want to encourage all of you, start a journal. Don't make it a law. Don't think you have to write so much every day. But believe God for something to write in it frequently. Frequently. I have lots of journals. I've got a shelf of journals. And, you know, if they take the internet away, we'll still have our journals. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I hope somebody else will push that number one or call 917-388-4683-410. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Prophet Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi. How are you?
All right. Well, actually, I was struggling with a little pain today. I think I scratched my eye or something. But
right.
Overall, very good. Very good.
Good.
Have a site to share with us.
You were talking about journaling. Boy, I think I've been journaling since high school. I'm thinking, how long have I been journaling? I've been journaling since high school. I remember sitting down and just journaling and just talking to the Lord about what type of husband that that I wanted and what I wanted to be doing. And I just remember through high school and through college, I mean, I have lots and lots of journals where I've written down just things that I've studied and things that I've heard over the years. And I go back to them, I was looking actually at a notebook where I've gone to prophetic conferences and just listened to all the men and women of God and just what was taught. And I go back over and I say, wow, there's been so much information that has been given to me over all these years. And I say, oh, Lord, what do I do with it? Because I go to quite a number of conferences, and also I do spend time journaling, or I'll have dreams, and I'll write them down. And I have my sons have dreams, and they'll say, Mom, I had this dream. What do you think this dream mean? And I'll have them. I'll have my oldest son doesn't like to sit down and write down his dreams, but I said, you know, I think God is speaking. You need to write it down. And
yes.
And I get him to write down his dreams. And we had a prophet from West Virginia prophesy to our family this weekend. And he was just saying that the Lord really speaks particularly to one of our sons in dreams and visions. And when he said that, I said, yeah, I know who that is. That's my oldest son, but my middle son also, he also receives dreams. Actually, he had had a dream, I guess it's been a couple months ago, about his school. And in the dream, basically, he and his classmates were running out of the building. And he said that in a dream there was a gunman, basically, and they were crying. They couldn't find any of the teachers, and they were running out the building. Well, on last week, basically, they called all of the students to go to the classroom, and the teachers were still at lunch at the time. And they basically had all the students get into a storage room. And he said, you know, the kids were crying. They didn't know what was going on. But the school had a drug bust. And I said, well, Gerard, do you think that God was speaking to you about that? You know, that it wasn't a gunman, but it was a situation where they had to call in the police because there was a drug bust. And he said, yeah, I think that was God, you know, speaking to me. So God is speaking. I think about our young, our youth. God is speaking to them, and he wants them to write down what he's saying to them, and for them to understand that God really has a plan for their lives, and that we can mentor the gifting and the calling that is in them.
Amen. It's amazing to me how quickly a dream gets away from me. I have to wake it up, and I think a lot of people are this way. I have to wake up that minute
right.
and write it because it just vaporizes. You're just
it
sure
does.
You're going to vaporizes. But the encouraging thing I want to say to people is as soon as you start writing, it's like your memory increases. You
mm-hmm.
can start remembering the detail.
Right.
And it's like writing, something about writing. Maybe it's treasuring it in your heart. I'm not sure, but maybe it's obeying God. But as you write it, then it unfolds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
amen.
That's so true. Because if I have a dream, I'll remember I have a dream, and it just evaporates. Or if my husband dreams, and he'll ask me, "Did you dream last night?" And I say, yeah, but I forgot. I didn't write it down immediately when I woke up. And he forgets to write it. His down. And he's like, yeah, I know I dreamt. He said, I had dreams back to back, but if we don't write them down, we don't remember them at all. He just slipped out, you know, of our memory.
Every once in a while, there's one that says something, you know, that I remember it anyway, but there's a lot in between where God is saying things, and a lot of people think they don't dream or they don't hear from God, but if you say, God, you know, I want to choose to let you wake me up. I mean, I'll put my little arm out and actually turn the light on and sit up and get out my pen and my journal. Of course, the first thing is to have the journal by the bed. But, you know, people want open doors this year. Some people are a little bit negative, saying, well, I don't believe this year will be any different than any other year. But I believe I made this list today because, you know, you kind of get out of it what you put into it. Are you going to believe God for a real lifestyle change? Well, a lot of people think I'll change my lifestyle when the door opens. No, it's the other way around. You
mm-hmm.
change your lifestyle and line up with God, then the door opens a lot of times.
Yes, exactly. I just found that to be true, you know. Because as you said, you know, when God points out, you know, there's something here that I want to heal and that I want to deal with, you know, it's up to us to make a decision. Okay, Lord, let's deal with this, you know. Let's let you come in and bring the healing to, you know, whatever, you know, the issue, you know, whatever needs to be dealt with, you know, in order for us to be strong and healthy Christians so that the enemy doesn't have a place where he can come in and attack. I think
right.
it's so important, you know, that when God is pointing something out, you know, that,
it just,
you know, uh-huh.
There's boot camp if you want to be a soldier. There's college if you want, you know, a professional position. There's technical schools if you want a skill, you know. And there's courting if you want to be married.
Mm-hmm.
And there's preparation for any major step. And there's exams before any major promotion. It's just
yes.
life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. It is.
Well, it took a while, but I realized that I forgot to prophesy to Mario, but I at least asked the Holy Spirit if he wanted to prophesy. I was so taken with Mario's points that I forgot, so I apologize. I didn't mean to. But do you have a prayer request tonight, Valerie?
Yes. I would like to pray for my brother. He has to go into court on this Wednesday. And I've been praying for his healing and his deliverance and for God to deal with the root of the problem that he is dealing with. Also, I have one of my Facebook friends that is a naturopathic, and she invited me to do a therapeutic fast. And so I've been on a therapeutic fast as well in order for God to bring healing to my body. But I'm also combining it with prayer concerning lots of things that are going on, and I'm seeing God bring healing to my body. Just been having some pain. I believe God is healing the tailbone and in my lower back. And so this is what I like prayer for.
Ouch. Well, I want to give you a word of encouragement that God reminding me just a few minutes ago that I have had two dreams, which is unusual for me, two dreams. I was totally healed, but I was suddenly kind of came to and realized, oh, my word, I am totally healed in more than one, you know, not just one thing, totally healed, and that two other people dreamed I was totally healed, too. So when I see something like that and it's confirmed, I believe it's not just for me.
Right.
It's not just for me. It's to raise all of our faith levels up to believe for total healing to manifest way bigger and better than we've ever imagined. And so I just speak that over you and anyone that's listening, physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, whatever, that we believe for 100% manifestation of these healings. That healing, by definition, can come along progressively, and that's okay. Yeah. A creative miracle is when it happens instantly or in minutes, you know, like that very hour at least. But we're going to believe that these healings that we have been believing for, just come into corporate agreement. And everybody that listens to this in the archives later, too. Corporate agreement for our healing to manifest 100% finally, you know, just 100%, that we'll be far better and look younger and be stronger than we expected. Amen. That it'll be a testimony that's a glory to God everywhere we go. And I remember in the dream that I was so, so healed that I couldn't believe that everybody didn't notice. You know, I just thought everybody just felt to look at me and tell, but not everybody's thinking about me, you know. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I just thank you. Oh, I got a picture. It's already pretty warm where I am some days, and I was reminded of something today after I was leaving my morning appointment, opened the car door. It was so hot inside the car that you could see the waves of heat rise, open the door. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you can see, like you can see heat coming off an asphalt road, I could see the heat, not just feel it. I could see it coming out of the heat in the car. And I saw that coming off your hands, Valerie.
Yes.
It'll be a tangible anointing on you to minister healing to others.
Yes.
There'll be heat, or there'll be a tangible, it's like tangible healing. It's so cool. And that we will know, that we will know the angels are attending, that it's God's will. We'll have no doubt about who, what, when, and where. And that this anointing to heal, a gift of healing and miracles, to work miracles, it would be so tangible that we don't have to worry about it. I mean, it's like you can visibly see the angel standing right there saying, put your hand on their shoulder right here. I'm going to heal them. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. So we speak that. That's your idea, God. I'm just speaking what the Father says to say. Tangible things for healing.
Yeah.
And if you want to see that, maybe somebody else is listening saying, I want that. Jesus sent them forth not only to make disciples and to pray for deliverance, cast out demons, but to heal. I believe we can all pray for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, you know, I just hear the Lord saying, don't think the supernatural signs and wonders is just being something that happened in the first century. Don't think of it that way. That I am bringing, you know, just bring, it's not even so much bringing it back. It's like I'm just raising up a generation and another generation, another generation that will believe for it in their generation. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
It's got to be supernatural. We can't do it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. We release you, Jesus, to be yourself through us. And you're the fullness of the Godhead, and you're inside us. And we just release you.
Yes.
To do everything you've always done through us. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, God. Yes. Thank you, God.
We're going to see it. We're going to see our prophetic words manifest soon.
Amen. Amen. I believe.
We're going to see them. Don't, you know, I'm telling people, don't hide in Hebrews 11, you know, where they didn't, they received the promises but didn't live to see them. Don't hide in there. Call them for. If somebody prophesied to you and you're still breathing, call it forth. It's not too late.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a good
you
night.
Too, Prophet. You too, Prophet Carlotta. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. You're blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I want to encourage everybody, start getting ready for your prophecies to manifest, your healings to manifest. Make whatever changes you need to make in your lifestyle or your budget or your priorities or whatever, thinking, if I really was totally healed today, you know, what would I do differently? So get ready. I'm going to receive that word, too. I like that word. Woo-hoo! We just thank you, Father. You are faithful, faithful, faithful. Anything you've prophesied to us, we choose to agree with it, to cooperate with it, to make changes in our life, expecting it. Amen. Area code 727, welcome to the program.
Amen. Hey, Carlotta, this is Jan in Florida.
Hi.
Hi. And I received that too, definitely, what you just said. So timely, yes.
You have tangible heat down there, I imagine.
Actually, today, I don't know, I still had the heat on a little. It's colder inside than outside sometimes, but in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, but I was just picturing, I have to go back and listen on the archives, but I know this topic is timely. I was just picturing, like, the bridge between where we've been and where we're going, and he's strengthening that bridge, and I've been just crying out, like, God, change me. And, you know, obviously it takes some of our doing, too, but... Oh, wow. I don't want to miss anything.
Well, and I think sowing and reaping is a sure thing. I just want to encourage you. All of those things, probably half of them had something to do with sowing something. And see, when you sow into God, that counts too. You know, you sow time with Him. That counts too.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Any questions or anything else?
No, I'm just really praying to be totally sensitive to him moving me forward, and I don't want any stubbornness in me, any resistance, you know, because I've been asking for it for so long, and then it's like here, and it's like hurry up and wait. God's like, it's not going to be that difficult. Don't get anxious while you're waiting. I mean, I'm the one who opens doors, but you got to walk through them. So there's that tension between those things, and like you said, in the healing too. So, amen.
I'm glad you said the word resistance, because if I was translating the Bible, I would put a spirit of resistance in there somewhere.
Yeah.
We've got the phrase quench the Holy Spirit, so it, you know, it kind of fits with that. That sometimes we do resist. The door opens, and we oh no.
Well, we cry out for change, and like maybe some of us, like I think I've been waiting a while for certain things, and he's saying, but a lot of it is I'm waiting on you and my process in you, but, you know, let your yes be yes, and don't be afraid of the future. If it's been the same for so long, we can get complacent just waiting, and he's like, don't be afraid of the future. It's all good, you know?
Well, that's one reason I made this list is it's not magical in the sense of people just want a magic wand waved over them and then they're suddenly going to be the man of power for the hour and they're going to be able to walk through amazing open doors. It's not magical like that. We just start lining up with God, giving him more and more of our time. Then he enables us to give him more and more of our time. But if you're too busy to give him 30 minutes now, you know, so your open door isn't going to be very big.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a law. It's about love. What do you love? I used to tease the inmates. I've done a lot of prison ministry in men's prisons, and I would tease them because, you know, one of the few things, well, I don't even know if they get to hold the clicker. Maybe they don't even have that. But I was teasing men in general, I guess, about you know, if your favorite thing in all the world is the TV clicker, what if that's what you get in heaven?
Oh, yeah.
Your reward is the clicker, and you're like, oh, dear.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we have to be yielded and not have idols with our time.
Yeah. With women, it might be sale coupons or something. But I think TV is one of the biggest things that people just need to turn the TV off after an hour or two and realize that successful people get focused. You know, they relax a little, then they get focused again on what God wants.
To balance.
I think most people's lives are out of balance. They spend their free time, not even spend it, waste their free time. Maybe not, but that's what they tell me when I ask them, you know, how'd you get back here? How come you've backslidden and you're back in this particular spot again? They'll say, oh, well, I quit spending time with God. You know, that's what they tell me.
We become what we focus on.
We do, and we become what we judge, too. When we judge other people, then we get those problems for ourselves. Thank you, Lord. It's all about being in love, though. I do not want this to become a task-oriented, to-do list kind of thing. Just trying to remind people that when you're really in love with somebody, you don't even have to make a list like this. And people can tell you're in love just by looking at the grin you can't get off your face. You know? You're not putting yourself to spend time with them. You know, you find a way, even if it's in the middle of the night. So. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Jan, I was just looking at God's refrigerator, and your picture's on God's refrigerator. I was just picturing, you know, just little pictures that you put up, you know, that are milestones and memorial stones and memories and all of that. And God really does have such a sweet affection for you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is getting better. You're in his baby book. I think it's Ezekiel where he says, no, I'm the one that taught you how to walk. I'm the one that took your little arms and taught you how to walk.
Mm.
I taught you how to talk. I just thank you, God. You're way more personal. Just forgive us, Lord, for ever treating you like you're impersonal or a to-do list or last resort or anything like that. Jan, Lord says, I'm just calling you to be one to just demonstrate what it is to be in love with me. Just to be in love with me. Because many can teach doctrine or about spiritual gifts or callings and all kinds of things. But there are few that when they open their mouths, the love that they have for me comes out. They become fathers and mothers in the faith. Because their goal, their joy, their reason to live is to know me. Not to do something, to know me. So as you share these things, I'm just going to be giving you more and more ways to say it, to impart it. It's all about being in love. For God so loved the world. And I'm just calling forth the people that will so love me, as I so love the world, they will so love me that they will go, they will share, they'll be my love and power to others. And I'm just giving you that message and making it part of your life message. There are many people preaching many things of their schools and training and modules, and they're all good, but is the love there? Special impartation of that. And as you study that and pursue that and say, more and more and more, Lord, I'll give you more. You'll be able to overflow that to others and pour it out on others, sow it into others, and they'll begin to get it, that it's about love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, I think the Lord's just revised our list. I put passion at the top.
Yeah.
All those things are about being in love.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Wow. That's the central thing. It really is. And sometimes we can go through stuff and we get a little bruised in that area, and it's like, but that's really the only reality.
Okay,
everything else flows. Yeah, and everything else flows from that. The other stuff, he can take care of getting that in order. Oh, wow.
We allow you to expand our hearts again, Lord, so we can hold our hearts open to you. And know that success is like love. It's being in love. Amen.
Oh, that's a good definition of success. I like that.
Being in love with Jesus.
Yes.
Because love is an action. Love is never just, oh, yeah, I love him, and no action. Love is action.
Jesus was moved with compassion, and he healed them all.
That's right.
Love and action, compassion. Oh.
And Paul said he was compelled. Was it by love?
Love constrains us.
Yeah.
Whew.
So it's not that, I mean, Jesus came and fulfilled the law. It's not that the law is no good, because the law is about love too, actually. All the laws are written, the ones that God wrote, I mean, they're written to help us love him and love each other and love ourselves. But this whole list, you know, when people listen to it, I hope they'll say, these are ways, tangible ways that I can understand in black and white of knowing how to love God better and love others and love myself. Quit shooting myself in the foot. You know, self-sabotage is a big thing. When you leave all things off, when you're constantly too busy to spend any time with God, that's just self-sabotage. Because we were created to be one with him, to walk and talk in the garden with him. I mean, that's success right there. It's not about money. I don't think there's going to be any rewards in heaven for who is the richest one. However, there'll be, I think, rewards for who, you know, who gave out of what they had, whatever percentage that is. But cause there's nothing wrong with being rich. I mean, praise God for the givers and the investors. But it's not how much you give. It's how much you gave out of what you had.
The true riches within the outer stuff, the motivations. You know, Carlotta, you just confirm. I was having that conversation with somebody not more than 20 minutes ago about, you know, walking in the garden in the cool of the day with God. And I was talking about mammon and the love of money being the root of all evil. And I said, if we just understand we don't have to toil because we have that intimacy with God, so the junk that goes on in the world would cease, all the negative stuff, the sin and the pain and all that. I was just saying that like 20 minutes ago to somebody.
Honest Lord. Honest Simon. Well, we thank you, Father. We thank you that that's your desire for us to be in love with you, and we ask you to fill us with that love for you. Everything we do will be motivated by love. Amen.
Amen.
Woo. All right. Thank
Can
you
I
for calling.
One more thing that just came.
Oh.
Oh, just regarding that, because I've been thinking about that. The love of money, mammon, is the root of all evil. And that's pride connected with our way of doing things. So it's really saying we love God less than our own ability, and that's where the striving came in, the toil and all that. So I'm just, you know, because that word love was attached to that comment being the root of all evil, but it's the love of the wrong thing, our own messed up abilities. He's like, I have it all. Just walk with me, you know?
That's why last week I posted on self-reliance, and I've got one of my few devotions that I've got on Crosswalk Life. If you look up devotions in the archives, one of the few that I've done that's in a little series there is on self-reliance, because that is really not the gospel. We aren't spirit-filled or saved so that we can become stronger as we're separated from Jesus and be more self-reliant. That's not the point.
Mm-mm.
We're supposed to come to the end of all that so we can let Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, do it through us. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, Carlotta. Thank you so much.
Yes. I think that this program may soon become all testimonies. You know, we're just going to believe until we've got just a whole program of testimonies that, oh, my prophecies have come true. You know, the doors are open. I am walking in faith. I am transformed. I am discipling other people. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I've tried to have programs that were testimonies before, too, but people, like, get shy on me. But thank goodness for each of you that helps me do the program each week. I'm glad for every one of you. Thank you, Lord. Have a wonderful night, and God dreams to you, too.
Thank you, Carlotta. God bless you.
God bless you. I want to say, while Jan's on the still with us, that I am hoping to make it to South Florida this summer. We wanted to make it last year, and I wound up having knee replacement surgery instead. That was not my first choice. Very painful. But God had a plan. God had a plan. Thank you, Lord. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to ask a question or make a comment? It's time to push that number one right now. Right now, so that we can not rush you. Anyone else want prayer or personal prophecy on the air? Push that number one right now. I'm not going to belabor it. For those of you that don't know, I've been booked 4 and 5 nights a week and am through May. So I'm not like a person that makes church last 2 hours whether we've got anything to say or not, you know. So just let me know. I want to encourage you, though, before I go, that you please go to nowfaith.tv and click on Join Here Now and introduce yourself and listen to a couple of those videos or audios and see if God isn't encouraging you to get more training. There are so many insights in that Elijah House School. Even if you've read the book on transformation before, it's almost, you know, pardon me, but it's almost like the Bible. Every time even I teach that course again, there is so much more insight. And or go to Crosswalk Life and use that search box and search for the things that God says are issues for you. Not necessarily somebody else, but issues for you, and expect God to make real changes in your life. Just expect not to be stuck forever. And those of you that have received Restoration Prayer Ministry and not doing the lifestyle that, you know, we discovered in the Word and shared and talked about, if you haven't been saying your godly beliefs and your true identity, get that back out. You can say your godly beliefs again and say your true identity statements, and God will show you new ones, new issues where you can ask forgiveness 5 ways and new godly beliefs to write, and start that lifestyle again of taking back what's been stolen from you with lies and speaking truth and speaking forth your vision and mission and expecting angels to rush to perform it. Expect the word, not come back void. Do the things. And so honor and respect and discipleship, so into people's vision, so encouragement. There's so many of these things you can do, and I didn't look at the list for money, but I bet you can do that whole list without spending any money. Like I say, you can even have a radio program like this for free if you don't have to have prime time. So some of you just need to ask for open doors and believe that God wants to wreck your life and make a change that day. Because, yeah, I'll give you open door. Are you willing to? Maybe he wants you to have a program somewhere, you know, whether it's with children or on the radio or in a business or whatever. You know, I used to do the group therapy in a secular mental health unit. And I didn't talk about the Bible, but I taught biblical principles every week. And my employers were of a different lifestyle, and everybody there, of course, was of a heathen lifestyle but me. And sometimes I wasn't doing right. But I began to step out and to teach God's principles. And my group therapy was very popular, and my employers didn't mind it because I never mentioned the Bible. But I taught those principles, and they work. They work. Well, I think everybody's ready to enter into the rest tonight. Amen. So I just want to encourage you this coming week. Would you ask God who you can invite to the archive to hear the program next week? you could sow. People, to hear the word, to hear the rain. Prayers with you that are on Now Faith TV, Crosswalk Life, and they can begin for creative ways.
We come to him. If you thirsty, come. For Jesus said, if you thirst, he that thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow, out of his belly shall flow rivers of life, rivers of life. Come and drink. We need to be like the deer that pants for the water, that unquenchable thirst. Come unto him now. Come and be filled. Oh, come and be filled. Yes, come and be filled to overflow. Jesus wants to overflow you tonight. Saturate my heart, let me be filled, oh Lord. I want to be filled, I don't want to leak out, Lord, keep me full. Yes, I'm thirsty, Lord. Yes, I'm thirsty, Jesus. I hunger for your touch. I hunger for you, Lord. Oh, and I'm thirsty for more of your glory, Lord. More of your glory, oh God. I'm thirsty, Lord. Come and give me to drink. I'm thirsty, Lord. Come and give me to drink of the new wine. Of the new wine. Of the new wine. Of the new wine. I'm thirsty, Lord.
Yes, Lord, come and burn in my spirit. Yes, Lord, oh, come and burn down deep in my soul, deep in my soul. Change my heart, Lord. Come and change my heart. Come and change my heart. Oh, come and change my heart, Lord. Never be the same again. The Master, more like Jesus. Come and change me, Lord, more like you, Jesus. Oh, more like you, Lord, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You'll be with us even unto the end. Lord Jesus, you gave your spirit to live within our hearts. And we can be strong in the Lord. We can be strong in the Lord when we weak, yes, then we strong, and when we poor, then we are rich, because of the abundant life that you give. Because of the abundant life that you give, we more than conquerors.